This is a really, really good episode of the podcast. You guys can really get a lot out of this. You have to listen to the entire thing. The ending is really, really, really important. You're not going to get the full effect of the ending unless you listen to the entire thing all the way through.
Now tuned into the motherfucking greatest.
Welcome to the Cyclone Fanatic Podcast. Your weekly look inside Iowa State, the sports scene, pop culture, and...
You know what? Forget this. When's the last time these guys ever stayed on topic?
About anything. The Cyclone Fanatic Podcast is powered by Charterhouse Real Estate. Charterhouse Real Estate is real estate redefined. Learn more about Charterhouse Real Estate on the forums of Cyclone Fanatic or charterhouseiowa.com.
It's a new beginning.
And now, please welcome your hosts, Chris Williams.
Are you not aware that I get farty and bloated with a foamy latte?
My mistake, Shackleton.
Your mistake indeed.
Mark Charter.
Because only one thing counts in this life. Get them to sign on the line which is dotted. A always B B C closing. Always be closing.
And Adam Gradham.
There is one person in every group of friends that nobody fucking likes.
Hey guys, quick podcast today. We're going to go about a half hour. We all have a lot of meetings to get to and whatnot. We're here at the Charterhouse Real Estate office in Ankeny. What's up, guys? Talk.
It's cloudy. What happened to our weather? I hate Iowa.
It sucks out right now, man.
Done with it.
It's brutal.
We're
like a bunch of old men. First comments today, weather.
Can we start out with good news?
What's that?
Because I got my year made the other day. Like, you guys are both, as we already figured this out, you're media celebrities.
Well.
No. I mean, Chris is media celebrity.
Gray's a member of the media. You know?
You are a member of the media.
That's false.
I'm not. Chris signs autographs everywhere he goes. He gets the free tickets to the WWE, which I assume.
I did get free tickets to WWE.
See, you get perks.
Great, actually. Such a fun night with my daughter.
You get perks and stuff. So I don't get any of those, and that's fine. You know, I'm just going to be me over here. But so I did hear.
Would you have taken free tickets to the WWE?
I've never been, so I might. Just to go check it out.
We'll have to talk about that here in a little bit. Okay.
So I was excited. My year was made, and it might have only been one episode. I don't want to jump to conclusions here, but I learned this past week that a certain powerful coach of Iowa State actually listens to this.
Oh, yeah.
That's what I learned.
It's true.
And every time I find out somebody important listens to this thing, I'm like, all right.
Wait, who listens?
You didn't hear about this?
No.
Oh.
Campbell listens.
Matt Campbell listens to this thing.
He's a podcast.
Shout out to Matt Campbell.
Shut up.
Yeah.
Does he listen to all of our podcasts? Or just the podcast?
You know, Matt listens to more than you know. Matt's a guy who...
I said a couple things on the podcast yesterday that maybe I regret saying now.
I was told that... Their first few days on the job, they're all trying to get used to the area and everything.
Yeah.
And
my
radio show is actually playing in the – and that was a little nerve-wracking.
I bet.
So I'd like to go on the record and say I think the Iowa State football program is going outstandingly well. It's like I love the direction.
Guys,
I love everything about it.
So here's how this happened. Lane Danielson texted me in Charter the other night that apparently Campbell said to him he heard the story about how – Charter's kid flashed Lane's daughter with his penis.
Jeez.
And thought it was funny. And then I was explaining to Mark that I'm like, you know, Campbell's a forecast type. He doesn't really probably show it on camera. Matt comes across very CEO, very, you know, he represents how you would want a coach to represent
the
university.
Yeah, he is a CEO of a football program.
He represents the university very well. He is he's just like a dude when you get him off.
A guy's guy.
The camera. Yeah, he really is a cool guy.
Coach?
Where Prohm is
coach,
like.
Let's meet for beers.
Prohm's
next week.
More like he is what he comes across as. Like, Steve is on camera like he is off.
This is true.
That's him. And not to say Matt's phony, I'm not. But he knows when he's on the air. He puffs his chest up and he comes across as this. Buckled up CEO type, and that's great. I think you need to when you have 115 kids on your roster.
I think every adult acts a certain way when they're at work.
Correct.
You know, you dress yourself up, you button up your shirt, you're a professional, and then you go home, you kick your feet up, and you unbutton your pants and you put your hand down your pants and you sit there and drink a beer.
Yeah.
Or right. Milk. That's what I like to drink.
Most
when I found out he was a listener, though, I immediately thought to Chris, we've got to get him on the podcast. He was like, nope, he would never do that.
No, he wouldn't.
He's not stupid.
He wouldn't come on here.
So
if there were some questions that we agreed we would not ask?
Like all of them, basically.
No, I think we could get him on.
I think he's a podcast listener. I don't think he's a podcast participant.
Can I submit my 15 questions to him and see if he says no to all 15? Here's what Charter wants to know. So because he won't be on the program, I want to keep pursuing Keep Sawing Wood. My headset just went out. I would love to have him on. That would be outstanding.
Jeez, what a disaster that would be. That would probably be our best podcast ever if we could get Mark Mangino on the Fawcast.
Where's he living these days?
Is he down in Kansas?
Florida.
Or
no, he's retired. He's got a place down in Florida.
Like you say retired, I say unhirable.
That too.
Yeah.
But
dude, he knew he was done when he said what he
what
said,
a,
though.
Man, I'll never forget that day. Just because I was down in Mississippi, and we left this Mississippi tailgate. We were waiting for Mississippi LSU to start, and we're all watching the Iowa State game. And these phenomenal people down there, we introduced ourselves, told them where we were from, what we were doing. And they had a huge tailgate. Like, there's a freaking chandelier at their tailgate, okay? These people are beyond rich.
And they dress up.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Yeah. And we asked them to turn on the Iowa State. And I'm not kidding, guys. Probably 50 people there were sitting there cheering on the Cyclones in the Grove.
Yep.
It was crazy. So much fun. And we left, and Iowa State was up 21 because we wanted to get into the game. And we kept checking the phones while we're waiting in line to get into the game. Not good, not good. Brian Lazier, who's one of the owners of Cyclone Fanatic, I lost my battery died. Like, down there, it was just eating my battery alive. And I'm just assuming they won, right? We're in our seats. Got my flask. Good day. Clones just won. Paul saved his job. Brian comes swinging around. Like, he had been in the bathroom, or I think he may have been still watching the game. I mean, he looks like he's seen a ghost. Like, he looks like utter death. So they lose, and then he continues to read these tweets from Mark Mangino taunting Iowa State throughout the whole thing. And it was like a movie. Like, you couldn't even believe
it. I've never seen anything like it.
Oh,
ever.
Unbelievable.
As his son is on the staff.
Yes.
That's going to lose his job.
I mean, he was coaching those kids like a month ago.
Like, I want to know.
Not even. A week ago.
Like, one of my obvious questions to him would be, were you drunk?
Yeah.
When you were doing that.
I think he was high in Doritos.
I mean.
He'd eaten a lot of Doritos.
Mark, he was covered in Cheeto dust.
Mark, that's a good question.
Was he?
Because, you almost. Here's the deal about Mangino. Like, he's a guy who really doesn't give a crap. Like, he says what he thinks. He thinks what he says. He, no BS type guy. It's why he was a good coach at Kansas. I mean, he's your Eustachy type, like, that type of a coach.
Don't you be putting my boy Eustachy with.
But Eustachy or. Most of those coaches hate social media.
Yeah.
The old school guys. I don't know. I almost feel like you have to be inebriated to go on there and taunt your son's team. The kids who are just working their ass off for you a month, regardless of what you think of the head coach.
Yep.
He was an interesting fella. Let's put it that way.
Why did we have to bring up the Kansas State game now?
Mark did.
Actually, you did.
You brought up the.
Did you,
Mangino,
did you and sneak in a flask to that SEC game?
Oh, yeah.
Does everybody do that down there?
Yeah.
A big thing?
Mark, you would have loved it.
Every time I've been to a game with you, you sneak in a flask.
I don't go to games very often for pleasure. So
What's in that Agrigold mug you're drinking right
That's
now?
That's coffee.
I'm worried about you,
Good
bud.
Sponsor
what,
plug
What
right
did you
there.
Call it? Did you call it Agrigold?
That's what it says right on it.
Agrigold.
Agrigold.
How are you saying it?
Agrigold?
Agrigold. There you go. You sounded like you said Agrigold.
Agrigold?
I thought so. You said the first time.
How many times have we said it now? Should we keep saying it? Agrigold.
I think they love it right now.
If you need seed corn.
They know
Agrigold.
Corn.
Agrigold.
Yeah, I'm a big flask guy.
I know. And then you raise your flask to Corey Stringer.
Oh, God bless Corey
Stringer. Corey Stringer. Nice.
That's one of my favorite. Honestly, like, I know that the Vikings lost, but all of my great sports memories have come with you, Gray.
Oh, yeah.
They all have.
No.
The Vikings-Cowboys game.
That was a party. That was
God,
a good time.
That was a disaster. When you had bought the tickets, and then we got scammed, and then we had to scrape and get tickets to get in. This was the divisional round in 2009 when the Vikings just...
And the tickets we got were pretty good.
They were great.
They were high, but they were 50-yard line.
I have never been less jealous of not being at a game than that game.
What,
that
the Vikings-Cowboys?
So cold.
No,
no, this is a different Seahawks.
So you're saying that, Mark, but like
that game was
we had a blast.
The whole memory of that. So we stayed at Travis Hines' in-laws, and we got there that night, and that was the night that I found out I had been taking a laxative for a year and didn't know it.
Yep.
So like that created an immediate memory.
Yep.
And we got drunk that night at Hines' in-laws.
They had more liquor in that house than you've ever seen.
So we wake up.
If you go to Hy-Vee right now, there's not as much liquor in that Hy-Vee than there is at Hines' in-laws.
So we stayed up really late. Like I think you went to bed, Adam, but Hines and I stayed up and we're watching the old Larry David show,
Curb Your Enthusiasm.
We watched that forever.
Which is
Gray and I get up, I don't know, it's 6, 7 o'clock in the morning, and just immediately start taking shots of Fireball.
Gotta warm your body up before you go out in that cold.
The amount of clothing that we had on at that game, I don't paint myself very good.
Negative,
but I was bombed at that game.
Like, -10, -15. And I kept
-27.
You tell the Corey Stringer story. That's you can tell it better than me.
Well, so we snuck in Fireball and Jack Daniels, the little, not the medium sized ones. You could, and we had so much clothing on, it was easy to sneak in.
Oh yeah, everybody was sneaking in.
Booth. Dude, security doesn't even care on days like that.
No, thank you for coming. Thank you.
They're freezing.
If they opened a beer for you, you had to drink in about 45 seconds.
Right,
freeze. It froze.
Yep.
So we were taking the shots, and I think the Vikings had a lead. You would turn around and you'd be like, hey, everybody. And he would say it to the whole section, everybody, right here. Cheers to Corey Stringer. Boom, pounding. Everyone's looking at him like, who the hell is
this
guy?
Did anybody like, shut up, man.
No, they all we were respecting. We were paying respects to the man.
Did you pour a little out for him in the aisle?
I'm pretty sure that I did.
Okay.
And then just everything that happened that day, and then the missed kick, and then afterwards, like watching that massive fight.
Yeah, because the guy was an idiot.
What a great day.
It was like a Packer fan taunting Vikings fans as they're walking out.
So they're hitting each other with mittens on?
No, dude, it was a nasty fight. The guys,
the dude deserved to get his butt kicked.
He had five dudes. Like it's a guy in a Packers jersey running out there just massively taunting all these really pissed off Vikings fans because they just missed a 27-yard field goal to move on in the playoffs.
Yep.
And
I walked by him like, this is not going to end well for
him. And it didn't. He got jumped by five dudes, and they left him bloody in the street.
Yeah.
I don't understand people like that. Stupid idiots. Yeah.
But anyways, that was – one of my other great sports memories with you, Gray, was the infield fly game, which we talked about last week.
We did.
We got a lot of takes on that, by the way.
Incorrect takes by some people.
Nobody here, for the record, by the way, said that an infield fly rule only counts if you're in the dirt of the infield.
Correct.
We never said that. But a lot of people pointed out that if the shortstop can make basically what's described as a natural play, then it can count. But watch the clip. He was drifting the entire time.
He was camped under for 0.1 second, maybe.
He wasn't sitting there waiting for it to come down. I mean, he was drifting. So I don't understand the take of that shouldn't have been, or it was the right call.
That carried on to Bloom and I went to Founders on.
Well, of course, I know where Bloom stands on this as an official? As a Cardinals fan. Yeah.
Well, we rewatched the clip and everything last Friday night. And,
painful.
Of course, Bloom was a shill. But, yeah, my wife almost left me that night.
You think I'm a troll. You think I'm a troll. He's trolling you big time in that. There's no way he
Bloom is a troll.
He's a troll.
Yeah.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah.
I've never doubted that Bloom's a troll.
Yeah, he is.
It doesn't make you any less of one.
That's true. I think I'm better at it, too, than Bloom.
No, you're more obvious with it. Like, you're more like, hey, I'm a troll. Deal with it. Bloom is very discreet.
So we figured out
Bloom trolls more on Twitter than anybody.
We figured out this week that Gray's better troll than I am. Because we have this Vegas text group. There's like 12 of us, 11 of us, you know? And Gray says stupid stuff that is obviously stupid, trying to get reaction out of it, and that's just what he does.
Name a time.
Whatever, dude. Like, Brett Favre's the greatest quarterback. Come on. That's
ridiculous. I've said that many times
on here. That's ridiculous. So I do something this week where I'm being intentionally and obviously stupid about something to our text group, and people are getting mad at me about it. Like, the sarcasm was
offending?
So thick, it should have been dripping through their phones.
Was it like, were you disrespecting the dead? Was it a social issue?
Was I on this? Was I part of this? I wasn't getting group text.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. So, no, basically, yeah. I'm not going to go into the details of it. But the point is, I said on the text message that obviously I don't have quite the skills that Gray has in this area, because normally we all know he's doing it on purpose. Apparently nobody knew I was doing
it
on purpose.
You do it on purpose, but you're also, Adam, just a contrarian by nature. You just are.
You said this last night.
You are. Like, it's not – my mom thinks that I am. She says it all the time. Like, yeah. Some people are just like that. Like, if I like, I'll do that from time to time. Five people agree on something and I actually agree with it, just for the sake of conversation and entertainment, I will disagree with them. You do that.
I think everybody likes to have that hot take these days where they – or not even the hot take. Everyone, especially on social media, everybody likes to agree on one side, and they never like to look on the other side. I'm one. I like to look on both sides of things. So last night, by the way, I was 100% right in the Slack group. We don't need to get into that.
We can't get into that.
The Slack group.
Why don't you guys do that? Like
I don't know.
Friends,
I haven't. We haven't adopted it yet.
Texting all the time.
Yeah. I don't know.
We need to talk about friend of the program.
Should we talk about? So Chris, yeah, a couple friends of the program had bad weeks. One you already talked about yesterday. Well, I don't know. Was Hassel a friend of the program? He's a friend of yours.
Yeah, he's a friend of mine.
He had a bad day.
Good, sucked.
Good dude.
He'll rebound.
Yeah, he'll have a job.
I don't know where he goes next, but
that's the only thing that sucks about all this. It's just like the whole industry is really hurting right now. So it's like there's a lot of talented people that are gonna have a hard time finding the job, and then that impacts like that trickles all the way down to like kids who are just graduating. There's only a finite amount of jobs in sports.
And now when companies are hiring, they know they don't have to pay as much because people are so tougher, you know, looking for a job.
It's a brutal industry. Like, I mean, we're all blessed to be in it. It's a brutal industry, though. And yeah. Well, you saw that yesterday.
Anytime you have an industry like that where people want to do it, you're going to have that.
Ross and I talked about this yesterday. I mean, there's every day people emailing our bosses trying to send in tapes. And, like, I mean, it's competitive as hell. And if you suck, you'll get run. And all those people will work for less than what we're making. And then it's brutal. It just trickles all the way down.
Well, I saw some people say, well, I don't really feel bad for these guys. They got to work in sports world, making good money for years. But most people don't realize how much did Hassel make when he first started doing this? 20,000 maybe?
Was his first job at 13? I think it was. He's probably making more than that, but not much more.
I mean, not making much money for a long time.
Yeah, my first job, I had a contract for – it was a one-year contract for $24,000 a year.
You pay your dues in that mm-hmm. business.
And I was in Shenandoah, Iowa, so like $24,000 goes a lot farther than
'cause you could
does in Des Moines.
Yeah.
You know, like I was paying $400 a month for my apartment.
And you can't do that here.
No.
Yeah.
I mean, the cheapest apartment you can find in Des Moines, I would guess, like it's a decent
$750 for it's probably not even nice.
You can find some cheaper ones, but you don't want to live there.
Correct. Like so it's
that type of deal.
You don't get to that point without making not only financial sacrifice, but major family and friends along the way. Sports happen at night and on the weekends.
Yeah.
You know?
Yep.
So I'm not asking anybody to feel sorry for you. Choose that route.
Well, the good news is he gets to move out of Connecticut now, most likely, and that's an expensive place to live. Holy crap.
Yeah. Dude,
hopefully his cost of living goes down a bit. But
it's a tricky deal, though, you know. I mean, he's got a wife who has a job, and, like, they're kind of entrenched there, and it sucks. The whole thing sucks.
Firmly entrenched or lightly?
No, I didn't say firmly.
Okay. Friend of the program, Chris Soules, had a bad day. And
have you talked to him?
No.
You guys are buddies, right?
I wouldn't classify it that way. I have a cell phone number in my phone.
Text him right now.
Yeah.
Just be like, hey, Chris.
Any comment for the podcast right now? I assume he's probably a little bit busy. The news cycle, though, is interesting about this story.
Yeah.
Because when you first heard that it came out, he had run into someone, killed them, and fled. So you're thinking to yourself, okay, that sucks, and you're going to go away for a long time. And then the news cycle refreshed yesterday with the fact that, yes, he did indeed still leave the scene, but not before calling 911, being on with them for at least 5 minutes, sounding, as you would assume, sounding kind of panic-stricken. He went over, and I think – he must have felt the guy because he was talking about I found a pulse.
He found a pulse, yeah.
Saying he doesn't know how to give CPR, which if there's a lesson in this, learn how to do CPR, I guess. It's a handy skill.
Do you know how?
I could wing it. I don't feel comfortable doing it.
Based on taking classes or based on watching TV shows?
Based on knowing people that know how to do it and having conversations with them. Okay. Yeah.
Julie and I have talked about how we need to go take classes.
Yeah, especially when you have kids. Yeah. You should know how to do it.
Don't you feel kind of bad that you don't know how to do it as a parent?
Yeah.
I do.
Yeah. So
what, CPR?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I actually thought about taking that class.
Julie and I have looked into it a couple times.
Yeah.
Here's the takeaway though. And regardless, so the theory that is played out is the bachelor likes to drink the beverage, you know, that he's a record of that in his past. So was he doing it that night, and did he run to his house for 3 hours to try to sober up? I mean, legally, that's probably a smart thing to do.
Why didn't he remove the booze from his truck?
I think if you have just killed a man, you're probably not thinking straight.
No, yeah, you're right.
You're probably thinking, what did I just do? The sad thing is, from what we don't know him well, but we've met him, we've been around him.
We've been to his home. He was very nice.
He seems like a very nice guy. And no, he's not going to go to prison for the rest of his life for this. He probably will go to prison for some period of time, maybe. But his life is forever changed. I mean, not even from a celebrity standpoint, but you killed a guy.
In a small town.
You know?
Oh, yeah. Exactly.
I mean, that's
knew the guy.
He probably knew the guy. He probably knows their family really well. And it's not like living in Des Moines where you could still be around and get around. He's going to run into all these people that know him really well on a personal level and know that family. And I don't know how he sticks around that town. When he does get out of prison, he's going to prison.
He gets mocked a lot because of what he, you know, being the reality star and everything. A real tragic thing here that pales in comparison to a man losing his life and, you know, the tragedy that is drunk driving and we're condemning that. Iowa lost a great ambassador too, in the sense that, he did open some eyes for people in like California on like how great our state is.
Yeah.
And now, like, because I've read a couple of those Hollywood things where it's just like calling him a fraud, and no, he's really not a fraud. He is a farmer. Like he's done a lot for agriculture.
He does that to this day.
Yeah, he's done a lot for. If he was he just would have moved to Hollywood and stayed there. So it stinks for Iowa too that now like one of our like biggest celebrities in that sense is thought of in this way. I'm not saying I feel sorry for him. It's more for our state. Like it kind of gives us a black eye as well.
Yeah, so who knows? I mean, you do have to let these things play out. I mean,
we'll see.
We don't know that he was drunk.
Correct. I mean, everything's alleged at this point. We don't know.
We do know he
I don't think there's.
We do know he left his scene. Yes. Left the scene. He went to his house. They had to get a search warrant to get him out. All of that stuff.
Correct.
That doesn't look good. But that's the court of public opinion at this point. So definitely let it play out. But you're right about. And I just happened to see a video on the Des Moines Register this morning. Of a Johnston, I think it was Johnston, guy that had pulled over someone who was making a stop, and then a woman was twice the legal limit and runs into the back of his squad car. Like he captured that on his body cam as he's getting out of the way of this woman coming in. And the reality is, in this day and age, I mean, obviously Chris Soules up in Arlington, Iowa is not going to be Ubering. I mean, it doesn't exist up there. I get that. But drinking and driving is so stupid. I don't know why we do it, why we continue to do it.
There's just so many reasons we don't care.
We're selfish. And maybe it's because I don't drink a lot that I don't have an issue with this, but it's like it's just not that tough to make other plans or get a ride.
It's not worth it.
It's a lot easier than it used to be.
I mean, look, this guy's a perfect example. He had the world by the balls, at least locally. I mean, he could go to any event he wanted to go to. He
and
was
get
the
paid
celebrity,
to do it.
Whatever, right? Yeah. And now that's gone. No one's going to touch him after this. So, we're assuming things. But if he was drinking, I don't know how else you run into a tractor.
The whole thing is tragic. From the guy losing his life, number one, what that family has to go through, to the drinking and driving aspect, allegedly, of course, to the broader implications as well. Just a tragic deal, unfortunately. Gray, did you?
Well,
you're
I mean,
trying to jump in there?
No, I mean, obviously, first and foremost, I feel terrible for the family that lost a loved one. You know, that's horrible. The one thing I always do, I try not to put these celebrities up on a pedestal. I mean, I enjoy watching movies and TV shows as much as anybody, but I don't typically follow them, their lives. I don't get the magazines. I don't watch the shows because at the end of the day, they're humans just like me and you. And I make mistakes. I'm a flawed human being. Chris Soules obviously made a mistake here, a terrible, terrible one. And I don't know. I try not to judge people too much because I know I'm not perfect. He made a mistake. He's going to have to live with it. Hopefully as time goes on, he can live with it. And the family that lost a loved one can get over it. But it's a horrible thing. And I don't know. I don't like seeing the reason that it's publicized so much because this guy is a celebrity. I get it.
It's just the world we live in.
It's the world we live in. And I don't like that aspect of it.
It's the type of thing where every legitimate news source in America picked it up.
Yeah.
Every single one of them. New York Times, I mean, you name it, had a story or a blurb on this guy because he was on a reality show at some point. So it is news. It's the culture we live in.
I know.
And it sucks for him because it is so public. I mean, if this had been anyone else, would have made the Des Moines Register, and that
it's
was it.
Think
about
sad deal.
Being like a daughter or son of the guy who lost his life and, you know, the one of the most important people in your life just died, and all anybody's talking about is a reality star.
Is the Bachelor.
Yeah, that would really suck.
Yeah.
That's a tragic component to this.
Yeah, and I would be shocked if they didn't know each other, at least casually.
No, they had. Dude, I'm telling you, being from small towns, like, you know everybody. Everybody knows you.
And that's your town's bigger than that town.
Yeah, and I mean, there's Clarinda has 5,000 people. I bet I know 90% of the people in that town.
Yeah.
Or if I don't know them, I know who they are.
When they all know you, being the celebrity that you are.
They hate me.
Yep.
Actually, no.
I think your dad and mom do a good job keeping everyone.
My dad's probably top five most popular people in Clarinda.
He knows everybody.
Well, he's the guy who, like,
Drives the buses.
He mows all their lawns. He scoops all their driveway. He does all the churches and stuff for free. Like,
but he's pretty shy and reserved and to himself.
My dad will hug anybody. Yeah. I always have to tell dad, like,
bring it on in for the real thing.
When dad's like around like Prome or like Campbell, he just was like, he won't like quit hugging them.
But that's
what he does to everybody. Yeah. But I'm like, Dad, that's
weird. Are you ever like, Dad, personal space, man. Back off a little bit.
The older
they know you like him.
I remember
I embrace them.
Fred said to me once, because Dad kept hugging him, and Fred was like, hey, you think your dad likes me?
I think so.
It was great.
Speaking of Freddie.
We got 5 minutes.
Poor Freddie.
I can't be late to my deal.
Well, let's talk about Justin real quick. You want to talk about Justin coming to UNLV?
Sure. What do you want to know?
Nothing I really want to know. Here's the deal.
It's a weird deal.
I put it on Twitter yesterday that a young man can make whatever decision he wants, right? It's his life. You do what you want. I don't understand the UNLV.
No.
And when I did this, UNLV fans must have been.
Oh, yeah. They were all over the place.
Yeah. So
I got a lot of hell from them, too, yesterday.
Yeah, we've been to four NCAA Final Fours and yada, yada, yada.
Yeah, in the 90s.
Yeah, it's not 1990 anymore. But here's the deal. You just compare it. And I'm a homer. You're a homer. We're all homer. We all think Iowa State's probably better than what other people think.
Correct.
It is. Okay. Now Absolutely. That we got that out of the way. Big 12 versus Mountain West.
Big 12.
Okay. Hilton Coliseum versus whatever.
Hilton Coliseum.
Okay. The Mac. Our fan
Center,
base.
Right?
The reason, and I got
TV,
into that.
We're on
TV way more.
I mean, I don't understand it. I just don't get it.
Guys, I don't want to oversimplify this, and I certainly don't know this, but if you look at histories of programs, where they're at currently, all of that stuff, is it anything more than they might very well be paying for players? And that's enough for a young guy with no money.
We can neither confirm nor deny.
Iowa State will pay you. Iowa State will pay you zero.
This is why I love
will pay you
$20,000. Mark just comes and says what the big elephant in the room.
Sure.
I won't say that.
That's my belief.
It's irresponsible for me to say that.
My belief.
However, like this thing got really weird when it started off. Think about this, guys. The top-ranked JUCO in the country, and it's down to Iowa State and Kansas, okay?
And he goes UNLV.
No, but just listen. Let me play it out like this. It's down to Iowa State and Kansas. A guy from Kansas, right?
Yep.
That's where he's playing.
You assume he's going to Kansas. At least
so then it's Iowa State, Kansas, and UNLV. And then all of a sudden, DePaul gets involved, and Kansas is out. And then it's Iowa State, UNLV, DePaul, and Rhode Island. And then it keeps dragging on and on and on. And he ends up going to the first place he visits, which is UNLV. That's weird. I'm not going to accuse anybody of anything because I don't know anything. That's really weird how that played out.
Yeah.
How it starts with Iowa State, Kansas, and comes down to Vegas, DePaul, Rhode Island. The Kansas thing makes a little bit of sense because they signed the Lawson kids from Memphis. However, they still had a scholarship. He was still offered. It's still Kansas. Just to drop him like that? I don't know, man. Like, dude, none of it really adds
There's
up.
Not a single part of me, though, that would blame the kid for doing it. None.
No.
Morally? No, who cares? You're poor. You don't have any money. Most college students, especially at 18, 19, 20, have no money speak of. And you know your goal is to get to the NBA to be paid, so you don't care about your college education at all. You're going to go where someone's going to give you money.
He's probably, even though he's the number one JUCO, he's probably not a pro. And he could be.
Yeah, he might.
He could be, but this
all the more reason to take
that's
money.
That's what I'm getting at. I mean,
I don't know. Again, I don't know anything.
How much was he paying?
I really don't know anything.
Give me a number.
When they got that 5-star kid the night before, I texted a friend and I said, that's not a good sign.
Yeah.
Because usually those guys travel in packs. They like to play with each other.
UNLV's been getting a 5-star class, it seems like, for the last 6 years, and they don't go to the tournament ever. They don't go to the tournament.
Oh, they're not a good team. I mean, you still got to be a good team. Play well together.
Okay,
they have a new coach.
Got time for one more topic. What else? You had something else in mind.
Did I?
Yeah, you said something else.
I think I was just talking Houston. Now we're on to Patrick Beverley.
Is it Patrick?
You had mentioned
Hoiberg before that, by the way. We were talking about
What is the Beverly kid's first name?
I forget. Let's pull it up here. Patrick Beverly's the Houston Rockets.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Jeff Beverly.
Jeff.
That's going to happen.
We're about his only offer, right? That's a decent offer.
The only one he's talking to, he really wants to play at Iowa State.
Okay.
So
he's undersized.
I talked to him last night. He said that Georgetown and St. John's and New Mexico are his other. So
I'm not surprised at all to hear that Matt Abdul Nassi's in there.
Matt loves grad transfers. But no. So, I mean, those are good offers. Those are good options if he wants them. But he wants to play in the Big 12. He wants to play at a big arena, that type of deal.
Yeah.
In Georgetown, you know, they have a new coach. St. John's, really nobody goes to your games.
Yep, it'll be interesting. Obviously now, I think Brown or Allstark are even more. I mean, you got to get one of those two.
Allstark, I wouldn't.
No, done?
You didn't hear it from me.
I just did. You literally just said it.
I don't think it's happening.
God, lots changed in last week.
I don't think they're going to get Brown either, but we'll see.
Yeah.
It's going to be – here's the class.
Chris, you're saying buy the NIT tickets now.
Here's the class. Yeah, no, I said on the radio yesterday when Houston didn't decide, I said this is the decision that next year's a rebuilding year, and you all better get on board with it because that's how it's going to be. And it's the truth.
Which is tough. I mean, that's a lot of pressure to even put on Houston if he comes here. We don't know if he's going to make a difference.
But that was a huge piece. The class will be, if I can break out my crystal ball, it's Beverly and Shayok, who –
yep.
Obviously, he's already committed. Morrow.
Morrow would be a great addition.
I love him.
Morrow would be a great addition.
It'll be him, and then I don't know where else they go.
Do they bank it for maybe a mid-year transfer?
Yes, would be my guess.
Okay.
That would be my guess at this point. But they need I think they want another guy to play next year if they can get another grad transfer.
Here's my question for you, and I know we're going a little longer on
time.
Yeah,
I've got to go.
But one quick question. We just lost a player because Charter says that the other school paid him.
Sure did.
We're sitting across from a very successful real estate agent that pretty much prints money off all the houses he sells.
Allegedly.
Charter, why the hell aren't you ponying up some cash for us to get some better recruits? Seriously, I mean, where is your commitment to Iowa State?
Yeah, I that's a good question. That's a good question.
We'll talk off air.
Yeah. part of the problem is because apparently they don't have any seats at Hilton. You know, the last time I would want some real good seats. For that type of thing.
Yeah.
Right? A friend of the program, give me some good seats.
Quit texting.
And they're like, our parquet is full. And, you know, it's all full. We'll put you somewhere kind of a thing. So, hey, we're popular, right? People like going to Iowa State basketball games. I get it. But hence, there's your reason for why I'm not paying.
Okay.
For the players.
Well, quit tweeting mean things to Pollard. Maybe he'd get you some parquet seats.
It's time to end this podcast. That's what I meant. Of course. Are we at 30, Chris?
We're at 33.
Uh-oh.
Oh, geez.
So
33 minutes.
I got to go. I got an important meeting to get to. Right. And I know that you do, too. So,
I'll pretend I do.
Peace.
Later.